Manuscript Releases, Volume 7, Numbers 419 to 525. M.R. Number 478. Pioneering in Australia with Ellen White. For a long time we have waited for the signs to be hung out to our view, that we might understand that we are living in the closing scenes of this earth's history. Little did I suppose that time would linger till I should be nearly 70 years old. The 26th of next November, I shall be 70 years of age. I have had a wrestling life, and when we were holding meetings in private houses, when only a few believed the truth, I did not think that time would last, or that my life would be spared long enough for me to visit Europe and Australia. I have been engaged in missionary work in this new field for about 6 years. I did not come here from choice. I did not want to come, for I saw an abundance to do in America. But the conference decided that I had better come, and the people here were very anxious that I should come. So I am here, to do the Lord's work in lifting the standard of truth in new localities. He has greatly blessed me in this work, and wherever I go, I have a message for the people. We have begun to clear our land here in the woods. 1 year ago, last August, Mrs. May White, Ella and Mabel White, and myself kindled the first brush fire, beginning to clear the land. It was very interesting work for the children. They enjoyed it ever so much. 4 tents were then pitched, and the men began the work of felling trees and preparing the land for cultivation. A breaking up plow, drawn by 16 oxen, broke up the land. The land was simply plowed. We could not then afford to do more than this. In this way, we employed men who had worked at the cabinet maker's trade, carriage builders, and painters. They were in poverty and great need, and some had large families to provide for. We paid them not less than a dollar a day and fed them. In this way, we have worked to get a few acres cleared and planted in peaches, apricots, plums, pears, nectarines, apples, figs, oranges, and lemons. These trees were planted in the furrows the last of September and the first of October. The next April, the entire orchard was plowed again. By the next August, the trees were fragrant with blossoms. In November, there was beautiful fruit on the peach and nectarine trees. These trees had been loaded with fruit, but most of it had been picked off when small. It was thought best for the trees to do this. With the blessing of God, by the coming November, we shall have plenty of fruit. Our school is located here. Their land was cleared and planted with trees at the same time that my orchard was planted. This coming season, we expect that it will bear fruit for the school. Our people are settling in this place. Here, students are to be educated in books and are also to be taught how to do all kinds of manual labor. The Lord will help us in this work. This is the first term of school. There are 60 students in attendance. 30 of these come from a distance and live in the home. All the students are young men and young women of excellent capabilities. We have located here on missionary soil, and we design to teach the people all round us how to cultivate the land. They are all poor because they have left their land uncultivated. We are experimenting and showing them what can be done in fruit raising and gardening. For the benefit of our school, we knew that we must get away from the cities, where there are so many holidays, and where the interest taken in ball playing, horse racing, and games of every kind amounts almost to a craze. In the woods, we are just where we should be. Not that we expect to get away from Satan and from temptation, but we do hope to be able to teach the youth that there is something satisfying besides amusement. Two plain, simple, substantial buildings have been erected for school purposes. The main building is not yet built. We are using a wing, which will answer until we can get means to advance on the main building. We will soon be compelled to build a chapel. We are so thankful that we have been able to make a beginning, and we earnestly desire to have this school such as the Lord shall approve. The school commences at 9 o'clock in the morning and closes at 1. Then comes the dinner hour, and then 3 hours of physical labor, for the mental and physical powers must be proportionately taxed.
We are favored with excellent teachers. Brother and Sister Hughes have lately come from America. Brother Hughes is principal, and his wife is one of the teachers. Brother Herbert Lacey and his wife are teachers in the school and are doing good work. Brother and Sister Haskell fill very important places in our school in giving Bible lessons. Sister Haskell is matron and also teaches a Bible class. Brother Haskell also teaches a Bible class. He has a whole treasure house of knowledge to give to the school. The Bible is made the foundation of all the education. Religious education is the foundation of all proper education. Brother Haskell is a man of experience and is respected and honored by all. His wife is a woman of rare ability as a manager. She takes hold most earnestly, not afraid to put her hand to any work. She does not say, "Go," but she says, "Come, we will do this or that," and they cheerfully do as she instructs them. We have had most precious instruction from the Word from both Brother and Sister Haskell. All are pleased with the location and with the plain, simple, healthful diet. No meat is used. Butter is too expensive to be purchased. We have an excellent cook for the school in Brother Skinner. He prepares an excellent table. His wife is connected with the school. Brother Skinner is also teaching the best methods of preparing food. Some feel the want of meat at first, but they soon acknowledge that their excellently prepared food is the best diet. Oh, how anxious we are in behalf of the youth. 2 years after leaving Australia. When I left Australia, I really thought that I might be back in 2 years. But I may never see Australia again, though. If it were the Lord's will, it is the place where I should most prefer to be. I am closely joined to that field by the most tender associations. I love the brethren and sisters there, and were I younger in years, I would certainly return to the field I love so well. I must say a few words more. Please tell those who recently went to Australia from America that they must be very careful how they speak in regard to the work that has been done in that field. God will not be pleased if they send back to America words of gloomy unbelief. Please tell them not to open their lips in complaint, but to say, "What hath God wrought? He hath fulfilled his word and set a table in the wilderness." If these brethren, critics, had been in the work from the beginning, if they had taken part in the stern battles that have been fought, they would understand that nothing but the miracle-working power of God has accomplished the work that has been accomplished. We have seen His power as we have advanced from point to point, and we praise Him with heart and soul and voice. Oh, how we appreciated the loving mercies of our God as He led us on step by step. If these brethren had met to worship God in the loft of the sawmill at Avondale, a rough, rude room stored with the school furniture, and in that disagreeable place had felt the power of God going home with souls warmed with His love, they would appreciate every stroke that has been made, looking upon the work done with hearts swelling up with grateful thanksgiving and joyous praise. We were instructed to make a sample farm for the education of the inhabitants of Kurrenbong. We were directed, step by step, how to advance. Those who acted no part in this work have no right to open their lips in criticism until they go to some field as difficult as the Australian field was and carry forward a similar pioneer work. Think you we did not do our best? We located our school where we were directed to locate it. The land was pronounced worthless, but the word came, "God can spread a table in the wilderness." The providence of God was so manifestly revealed as we advanced that I have not a shadow of a doubt that the loving Heavenly Father was watching over us all the time. Such an experience I value more highly than gold and silver and precious stones. And should the Lord release me from my work in America, I know of no place where I would rather be than in Kurenbong. May White and I kindled the first fire made to clear the land on which my house was afterward built. There we pitched tents for me and my workers. We knew that by day and by night, angels guarded our encampment so that no harm befell us. Very soon after going to Kurenbong, we began to do medical missionary work. Sarah was called to many places to treat the sick, and many of the cases were very difficult ones. This work opened many doors for us, giving us access to hearts. We brought the sick to our home and cared for them there, and the great medical missionary came into the home and blessed the care and those who cared for them. He went with the one who was called, often at night, to ride for miles through the woods to visit some suffering one. God was in this work. I praise His holy name.
Dora Creek and Martinsville and the other settlements in the woods in which we labored are dear to me. I hope that the most tender solicitude will be shown for the souls in these places and that earnest efforts will be made to draw them to Christ. Much has been done in these places, and much more will need to be done. In Australia, we gained an experience that enabled us to endure the seeing of Him who is invisible. When those who did not stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the pioneer work attempt to speak slightingly of what has been done to advance the truth in Australia, I say, step lightly. You are treading on hallowed ground. Christ and His angels have gone before us, and from the light given me by God, I know that He is going before the workers in New South Wales and in other parts of the field. He is with those who are building the sanitarium and those who are opening up the health work in Sydney. He will reward those who have worked so long and so faithfully on the sanitarium building, investing in it all the means they have. Angels of God have stood by the side of those who worked so nobly at Avondale. I thank the Lord that at the time when there was so great a dearth of means, we did not sit down and fold our hands, making no effort to advance. I thank the Lord that He put it into the hearts of our friends in Africa to help in time of need. And I shall never forget the faithful labors of Elder Haskell and yourself in collecting the means that enabled us to place the work where we could leave Australia to come to America at a time when my testimony was needed here. The Lord has been very good. As I think of the poverty, the scarcity of bread and clothing, and of the missionary work we tried to do, I look upon the whole matter as a wonderful thing. The work is an object lesson for all who enter new fields. Let all say, "See what the Lord hath wrought." I know of no place on earth so dear to me as Avondale, where we fought so many battles and gained so many victories. I say to all who visit there that the heavenly angels have walked over the grounds. I tell you this, Brother Irwin, for your encouragement. I know what I know of the stately steppings of the Lord Jesus and His angels.